Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to everybody tuning in at home. Another episode of the Crash Course coming to you live here from the North Park building at Academy Square, episode 269 on deck here this evening. We're going to be catching up with Dylan Rohrbach in just a few minutes here, talk about what he's looking at and in terms of the summer. He's got some choices to make, that's for sure. He's got a couple cars that are laying around to clean up, and of course we all know up there in that part of the country they just plant cars and they continue to grow and they just pick off old iron from the trees.
Absolutely.
But it's a good start here. A bit of a quiet weekend. I got to go down and check out the Orange County Fair Speedway down there for the first time. I've never been, and there was posters hanging all over for the upcoming Demolition Derby that's going to be held there later on in 2019.
So you've never been to Middletown?
I've never been to a derby there, no. I'd never been to Middletown, period, before Sunday. Yeah, as many races and stuff as I've been to, Middletown was not one of them.
No, so
that was really cool. While we were going down... I think at that point we were still on the thruway. We were on our way down 90, and going the opposite direction was a orange and purple Lincoln with swap meet decals on one side of it.
Saw that at Deckers.
So I'm pretty sure we know who that belongs to. That was that car that was on display at the swap meet up at Paradise. That was kind of cool. Also following up on another thing, while we're on the spinning wheels topic, I saw. Martin's battling a little bit of a cold, so I mean, obviously that puts a lot of work on the plate for the gullies as a whole. So hopefully he recovers quick, because it's not quite as easy as like if you or I have a cold. You know,
yeah,
a lot of challenges come with that. So just for off of a birthday here in March, it was Capital City Carnage weekend.
Yep,
Martin's celebrating a birthday, so hopefully he gets back on his feet soon. Were you at Deckers recently?
No, it was on Facebook.
Oh.
It showed they must be Josh took it home, yeah, I assume. They must have been.
I didn't see what was towing it. I didn't get a chance to see what was towing it. We would know a little bit better if it was going to Josh's house or not. If you know, like Jerry was towing it.
No, it was they picked it up down there. Can't remember, Josh posted a picture or somebody posted a picture of it, and they'd stopped at one of the diners on there, I think, on the way home after winning it. But yeah, it was a pretty quiet weekend. There was wasn't a lot of derby talk. Talked to you a couple times. You were at the races and
created some messages with Bobby Brockway. Talked a little bit about Spring Explosion, which is coming up. That'll be here soon. Bash for Cash will be here soon. Urban Destruction's coming up around the corner. So it's not like there's a shortage of action forthcoming. But it was a rare to catch a bit of a quiet weekend here as we get closer and closer to our fair season. Kicking off, Dylan Rohrbach is joining us on the line, switching to a Tuesday night. We appreciate Dylan being flexible and coming to us this evening. How is everything going out there?
Pretty good. Just getting ready for our next winter storm that's supposed to hit between tomorrow and Thursday. So other than that, everything's good.
Happy spring.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah, they're calling for big snow up there, right?
Yeah, we're expected anywhere from 2 to 12 inches with 40 to 50 mile an hour winds.
That is no fun at all.
No, especially not in the heat of calving either. That's not real fun either.
No, that definitely isn't good.
You guys just had one come through there, didn't you?
It's been about three, four weeks ago we had a real bad one come through. Other than that, we've been doing fairly good since.
Has it warmed up at all, or is it still sitting around like 10 as a high?
It's actually warmed up. Yesterday it was in the 60s, but tomorrow we're supposed to be in the 30s.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We're supposed to get the fingerlings of that. It's all going to be rain, though, after it gets across the Great Lakes.
Thankfully.
So, hopefully, yeah. I remember years where we've had snow in May.
Oh, yeah?
So, I'm more than content than I have to deal with any of that stuff.
It's crazy. The middle portion of the country has just been pounded this year. I mean, they really got it rough. I mentioned talking with some guys at Capital City Carnage. You see it on the news and you feel bad and but you don't really understand it until you talk to somebody that lives out there and tells you, about farms disappearing, and it's just, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But hopefully it things clear up for the guys out there.
Do you still get the opportunity to get in the shop and work it all on the cars when you're dealing with snow like that?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of the main time when one can get in and work on the cars. I mean, you check on the cattle every few hours, and then there's nothing else to really do other than get equipment ready for planting and seeding, but that's a couple weeks out, too. So,
yeah,
how far? The main downtime when the snow is on the ground to get the cars worked on.
How far is this going to set you behind in terms of planting?
Hopefully not too. If it's a heavy, wet snow, hopefully not too much, if the sun can come out and melt it down. I mean, quite a bit of the snow around our area has receded quite a bit. So we just need the wind and the sun to pick back up, and 2 to 3 weeks, hopefully, one can be getting into the fields.
Right on. So with all this extra time, I'm sure you just decided to start burning as much welding wire as you could, and you must have like 7 cars built by now.
Nah, that's not quite the case. I've got the itch going back again since Carnage and stuff, and have been working on that. And after getting out and looking at the car and looking at the back end, I thought that was kind of a disaster. But with the equipment one's got around here, I figured I'll see what I can do with chaining the front to a four-wheel drive tractor and then pulling out the back end with a payloader.
What's the Derby season like up there? We've talked about what it's like in Pennsylvania, New York, and touched a little bit on Virginia and some of the conversations about North Carolina, and then gotten to the Midwest, Ohio, Indiana, and Nebraska, conversations about what those landscapes are like. But everybody that we talk to that's in that upper Midwest range, you're in South Dakota, you're talking about driving an extended period to get any place. And then with the variabilities of the weather, does the season get condensed down, or do you guys go later into the fall? What's the atmosphere like up there?
Normally the shows around here start in that beginning of June, middle of June category, and then they'll run to the beginning, end of September. I know my hometown show we always used to do at the end of June and stuff, but the car count has been getting lower and lower. We switched that up to the beginning of September this year to hopefully get in a better car count for people who are wanting to use stuff up before the snow falls and get cars built for Blizzard Bash or whatever. So hopefully we'll get a better car count then. But for the most part, yeah, the main part of summer is when stuff's running around here.
We've been out there, and sometimes in February, spring starts coming early, and you could be having whatever activities you wanted outside in the April time frame. But then you look at, like, the number of standalone shows that are up there, you don't see them happening in the early part of the season. They just don't happen.
No.
Drive for Five was early. Crossroads was fairly early. But other than that, there's not a lot that really jump off the page in terms of that, really the standalone season. In terms of getting closer to the county fairs and events tied to stuff like that, Mandan was always one that stood off the page in mm-hmm. terms of our travels. But it always was interesting to me to see how that fair schedule fell, because it seems like you guys could have 100-degree weather right up until Thanksgiving. Or you could have negative 20-degree weather August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
You said that your hometown fair is losing support. Why? What was the catalyst for that?
Just a lot of other shows around the area between North Dakota and then down in our area too. There's a lot of shows that are back-to-back weeks, and mm-hmm. one just figured between cars getting used up or it's on the same weekend, people go into a different show. So one just moved it to the end of September, where there's not as many shows going on and people want to use cars up, so hopefully we'll get a better car count.
Is the climate up there heavy, like what you see in the centralized Midwest, the heavy mod cars like you'd come across in Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Indiana, Missouri, stuff like that?
Not so much the mod class. I mean, the limited welds for Carnage may be a little bit heavier and stuff there. I mean, there's a lot of North Dakota drivers that'll come down. I know last year Mike Schmidt was down at our show, mm-hmm. and then some friends, Jeremy Tim and Matt Erickson, they normally run in the Clevelands and Ponzer and Brady Larson. Those are the typical ones and builds that sure. you see.
When you're talking about the car counts falling off, the old iron seems like it's readily available out there. Did any of the promoters start moving towards compacts or trying to move towards 80s and newer and chase supporters out of it that way?
The compacts, there's one show I know of that has had good luck with that. We tried that a few years ago, and we only had two or three compacts show up. And then the 80s cars, those have turned out somewhat decently well. We've never tried a stock 80s show or just an 80s class in quite a while.
Yeah. So in your conversations with other people, I mean, you've got connections all over the country now in terms of the social media world, making the Demolition Derby world significantly smaller. What are some of the comparisons and contrasts that you're seeing in your area versus some of the other places that are out there? I mean, the Northeast has their pockets and their styles. You know, you go out west, there's their styles. Utah's sort of unto itself in that shadow of the Rockies right there. And then as we talked about, that stuff that's happening in the central Midwest in terms of their builds. Is there anything, you know, that seems to be do you guys feel like you're in a vacuum by yourselves and the Derby world patterns aren't affecting you as much, or do you feel like you're being more affected?
Well, since I've upgraded equipment, once having to start to travel a bit further to shows, because when one did get this equipment, shows were allowing it and everything now for better car counts and everything, thinking mm-hmm. that more people would show up with this built equipment. And now that one's got all the engine protectors and tranny protectors, some promoters are realizing that not as many people are showing up, so all the rules are changing and stuff, so one's realizing one's got to travel a bit further or risk having something happen to your $4,000 to $5,000 motor without protectors on it.
Right. Where do you get your motors from?
I had a Grop originally, and that's just sitting on the shelf right now, and I've got two from a guy out of Watertown who I've had trust, a 355 and a 383 Stoker.
Gotcha. You know, we've talked about that happening here as well, is all of the drivers started pushing towards getting one thing or another that they wanted added to the rules, and then it was added, and the car counts began to fall faster than what they were, and you weren't gaining the people. Individuals weren't traveling to the fair events the way that the suggestion might have warranted. The belief didn't come together, and those rules, as they started to change and take shape, people didn't build their own stuff. They just quit going. So then you had to make a choice. Are you gonna try and bring people who quit back, or are you going to cut people who are supporting you with what they've got and cut them out?
You know, derbies can be kind of a fickle crew.
And
I've touched on it a bunch. You know, I really like to watch all forms of derbying. You know, from the mod cars that they run at Blizzard Bash to you know, the Relic class at San Filippo. I really like, you know, all style builds and I guess I can only really talk for my region. Sorry, Josh Buell. But it seems like in New York, we get a bunch of guys that say they want to run mod cars. We want full weld mod cars, you know, like they run at Blizzard Bash. Okay. So, for instance, you know, the first two show, they have full, basically it's Blizzard Bash builds. Mm-hmm. And they had a pretty decent turnout. They had quite a few of those cars, and more guys wanted to do it, and you know, that all of a sudden they tried having more of those shows and they started getting fewer and fewer cars. And it's, you know, I think promoters kind of have to, you know, they have to pitch to the players that they have. You know, I can't see this area having, you know, and again, it's just my opinion and, you know, what they say about those. But, you know, I can't see there being a bunch of you know, heavy weld modified shows in New York. So I just don't think there's enough guys, you know, that'll follow it and do it. I mean, I personally don't know a lot of guys that, you know, want to spend, you know, $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 on motors and rear ends and transmissions and braces and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, it seems like, you know, at the standalone, the bigger shows that we go to, you know, there's kind of something for everybody. And, I kind of think that that's, you know, a great way to do it. But, you know, I think Demolition Derby is healthy, but I just think there's a natural ebb and flow. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I think, you know, you're
peaks and valleys.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you're, you know, let's be honest. I mean, guys get mad at promoters every year. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the promoter is. They're gonna make somebody mad. So you know, a couple people, you know, we lose a couple people that way, and you know, some guys, you know, just can't run for a year or two, and but there's just natural ebbs and flows, and I don't know if. You know, I don't know if you'll ever see, you know, one style take over, but you know, I mean, we've seen a pretty steady trend back towards the lighter builds, which I think is great.
Right.
You know, I like seeing cars.
I like that.
Yeah, I love it. You know, as a fan, even if I wasn't driving, I like to see the lighter builds because I just love seeing the way stuff gets bent up.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, with the big shows, I mean, you know, those cars are like, we go to Blizzard Bash and we're there for 4, 5, 6 nights, and it's so amazing to me, to because I mean, from the stands, you can't really, the cars don't always look a lot different. You know, I mean, you see a tire get knocked off, and you know, you'll eventually see the rear bumper at the rear window, and but I mean, you know, the fenders get dented up, and but I mean, they don't bend. But to go out and look at the cars as the guys are working on them, and see these enormous cages inside these cars, they get hit and shifted. Mm-hmm. You know, to see a plated front frame rail get a, you know, hit so hard that it accordions,
yep,
and they're trying to stretch that back out. I mean, stuff like that is amazing, but a lot of, you know, not a lot, but some fans, you know, they don't get to see that, so it's not as intriguing to them. But I mean, you know, we've kind of been,
and the fan at Steuben County Fair is not somebody who's interested in going out and watching the repair process to put, yeah, the front end of a Blizzard Bash car together either.
Yep, you're, you know, and that's that way for most county fairs. I mean, most people don't want
to. I just pulled Steuben County because I was talking to Kenny Shupp the other day. It really has nothing to do with any.
but I mean, that's the thing is, you know, it's kind of the lighter the build, the more damage you see, but in return, you know, the more chance you have of breaking a block or of, you know, a car bending and breaking a transmission, and you know, all that stuff is getting really expensive. So, you know, I think there's, you know, we've said it before, I think there's a lot of places for a lot of stuff, but you know, I just think that Derby's just one of those sports where it goes to the ebbs and flows, and I mean, it's still healthy. I mean, you know, we saw, you know, what, 6 full classes when we were just at Capital City Carnage, and or 6 full heats, and you know,
150 cars.
Yeah, 150 cars, I think, is what we went through. But, and I'll tell you what, those, you know, limited weld cars out there, those cars were, there were some pretty stout noses out there in that class. So, you know, it's, there's always, you know, there's always ebbs and flows, and, but, you know, I think it's, everything's going pretty darn good.
How about you, Dylan? I mean, Brian hit on a bunch of different topics. We'll jump to the mod cars here in just a second, but what do you say in terms of some of the points that Brian made?
Well, yeah, I mean, once try getting the younger generation in who doesn't want to spend all this money and stuff, but two, they see how some of these cars are in not the full mod or the limited weld, and they still don't want to go out and build, or some still do and jump into the big stuff right away. I mean, yeah, it's a steady up and down out here and stuff. One keeps trying to change things up or show, but each show you go to is also a different set of rules, and sometimes what you would have to change up is you'd almost have to cut apart the whole car sometimes, or sometimes it's just a little thing here and there, or depending on what that little thing is, might not make want to somebody run it that show also.
Sure.
So if one had a steady flow of rules, that would help, but we've also tried that out in this area too, and that hasn't seemed to work either.
You tried what out?
It was four different shows in the area that had the same set of rules, but the car count, too, didn't seem to come up really with trying that out.
Right.
Well, that happened kind of around here. I know Ontario, Steuben, and Yates were kind of all kind of working on like a unified set of rules. I haven't been to any of those shows in a long time. I can't say whether it helped or hindered, but I know they got together and were working on it. I don't know if that's still the case because I don't know who's promoting Yates or Ontario County anymore, to be honest. I know
Total Destruction has those. Maybe not.
I thought Canandaigua was up this year, and there was other guys trying to get in and get it. I could be wrong. And if I am, I apologize. But I know Aaron and his crew were still running Steuben. And but I mean, he was, you know, in the off season, I saw him on, you know, online trying to get some ideas. And so it's, you know, and I think the good thing is promoters are trying to work with drivers more now. I think they've seen, you know, we've touched on it, you know, here in, you know, not exactly our region, but here in New York, Jeremy. Gully and Spinning Wheels have done a nice job working with the drivers. Mm-hmm. They got a really good thing going on down there. You know, it's just but for so long, fair boards haven't cared about demolition derby or haven't cared about drivers. You know, it's they like the money we bring in. They love that, but you know, it hasn't been enough to take care of the drivers. So, I mean, you're not seeing as many fair boards running derbies around anymore. So, hopefully we can, you know, we can get guys in to take care of it. But, you know, it's just tough. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, some people just don't, you know, there's some people that don't want to work with anybody else and don't want to be, you know, open-minded. And that's, you know, that unfortunately that hurts the sport, but, you know, you run into that.
In terms of mod cars for our area, Dylan, is what happened. I think probably one of the better examples would be what happened at Seneca County with it. Mm-hmm. Is a bunch of guys built what they saw on TV without knowing exactly the nuance of what they had to do, and they had their equipment broke, and it was a lot more work than they had planned, and the seven concussions they took in the 4 minutes that they drove. It wasn't what they were accustomed to. They didn't come up on it, and it got to be something like, you know, I don't need to spend this much time and money and have this many headaches and bruised ribs to do this if it's not that much fun. There's a lot of other ways to do it, and I think that contributed to the die off of the mod cars in at least in the Finger Lakes.
I was surprised though.
And there's a learning curve to build it. You got to know how to put the thing together.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed last year. I mean, there wasn't. As many cars as the year before. Jeremy didn't bring a mod back. Obviously, Pete wasn't there. Matt Gaskin Jr. wasn't there. But I thought the Wilkins boys didn't run. But, I mean, I didn't think that was, you know, I think we had eight, nine, something like that.
Yeah, it was less than a dozen.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and this is, you know, I'm not knocking anybody that did it. Hats off to you guys for trying it. But it's definitely one of those things where, you know, to stick with it and to build those cars, it's time, it's seat time, it's shop time. I wouldn't attempt it. I have no desire. You know, 20 years ago,
you weren't there, and you will not lie about why.
Yeah,
you did not want to put the work in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Too much screwing around.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, now I'm too old. Now I would be sore for years after running a mod car. I've touched on that 100 times, and I'll be as honest as can be. But I mean, it's just, and it's one of those things. And I told, you know, the first year they had the mod cars back, you know, I tried to tell all the drivers that I saw and shook hands with, hey, you know, it's great you guys tried it. You know, I hope you keep coming back. You know, they were worried about running against Pete, running against Jeremy, running against Matt. And I'm like, who cares? You know, these guys have been doing it for a long time. So, you know, get out there and bang around with them and have fun. If, you know, it's, you're going to learn. It's, you know, it's a great learning experience, but, you know, I it wouldn't I would like to see it for the guys. You know, maybe, you know, maybe they move it around from county to county. I don't know. It's just something for the guys that want to do it. But I just don't think we're ever going to have, you know, heat with 30 mod cars or a mod class where, you know, 30 to 50 cars show up ready to go. But, you know, it's, I mean, but then you got the guys that, you know.
We're not Kentucky and we're not going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to, or, you know, Ohio or any of those places from out that west. But, you know, and I mean, but there's still a lot of great builders and drivers in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that build great cars. And but, you know, we've kind of, I would say the majority have kind of, you know, limited weld is probably the extent of it. And, you know, it's a great show. I mean, you know, but.
That's a
we'll see. We'll see
a good the jumping off point right there because Dylan's got a couple limited weld cars, mm-hmm. and most of his setups and everything are now still wrapped in those limited weld cars, and they're not done. You're trying to figure out what to do with them.
Yeah, that's just it. I've looked at some shows on Facebook and stuff coming up. I don't know. There's an association up in North Dakota that's got quite a few shows this summer that I might take the Carnage car up there and get that used up or see if there's someplace sooner. And And I've got another one that I've ran the past couple of years that hasn't really wiggled that I want to go ahead and get that used up and get thrown into a fresh car, too.
You said that you got the car running again after Capital City Carnage. What happened out there?
Something that's never happened before. All four of my control arms on my rear end broke, so I have no idea how I was still moving at the end.
Yeah. I think I remember his car getting carried off, and we made mention of it that because the rear end, one of them, the rear end was really hanging bad. Did they take your car off with a dyno lift? Do you remember?
Yeah, with the telehandler, yeah, they hauled it out with.
Yeah, that's I remember mentioning that. I'd never seen that happen before either. With all four, I mean, more recently we've seen like the lower control arms break, mm-hmm. and that's when you see the rear ends chocking on the the slider, but yeah, I remember seeing his break. Yeah, that was. Do you have any? I mean, obviously, hit and caused it, but I mean, if you want to answer, you can. But had you tried a different way of putting the rear end in, or tried a different way of mounting the bar or the control arms, or do you have any ideas what caused it?
No, I've mounted it the same way I've been mounting it. Both the rears and uppers were all reinforced and everything, but they tore right at that rubber bushing on the lowers and then right at the ears on the uppers like they normally do. But normally I've just had one lower brake here or there and one upper. I've never had all four at one time go.
Yeah,
now the only thing I can think of back from watching on tape and stuff when stuff started to go south, I think, is when a carpenter caught me in the one passenger rail. I had eyes in the stands, but on that first red flag, all I got was a thumbs up, and after that, you try looking at the screen to tell something. I think by the third red flag is when I heard rattling in the back, and I knew something wasn't right.
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, we mentioned that on air. It was very strange to see that. I don't know if I've seen something like that before. I mean, I've seen pictures of aftermath, but that might have been the first one where I saw four control arms break.
I had no idea that the uppers were broke either until I crawled underneath the car later that night in the pits because I was contemplating getting it ready again for the Constellation until I crawled under and saw it was all four and both humps were completely kinked, and I just figured I can get more repair or more use out of it back here at home.
Yeah, I mean, with the equipment you have, I'm sure you can just about get the frame as straight as it was when it came from the factory and everything will be golden.
But the front hasn't moved at all. It's just the back two humps kinked, and I've pulled those back out already. It's done a little bit of tearing, but if I can throw hump plates on them or just a plate in certain spots and cut more sheet metal away from the back end, I'll just worry about using up the front.
Yeah. Yeah, they're forward cars anyways. That backing up's for the birds.
Yeah, that was something I didn't learn down there. I don't know why, but I decided to back up a bit more than I usually do. And if something would have happened earlier, I would have broken my stick, but you get down to those 6, 5, and 4 spots and you think you have enough car left to hopefully make it to the feature and just keep going with it. And
Well, we said those were the guys who were going to have the most work to do in terms of getting back out.
Chris said that in there.
Those were not going to be the spots you wanted to be fixing cars coming from. They're going to be pretty wore out.
Yeah, because usually it gets down to like the top six, and it's usually a battle to get down to the three they're taking. But yeah, it's crazy to see what happens out there.
So we talked a little bit about what you've got in your home area, your hometown show. It sounds like there's a pretty good batch of shows to pick from. Right there in and around, I hope I say this right, right in and around Bowdy. I say that right?
Bowdoll.
Huh? Bowdoll. Okay. Sorry. I took a stab at it.
It's all good. A lot of people.
So how much traveling are you going to get to do this year? I mean, obviously you're limited, of course, by the farm and planting and harvest and stuff like that. Are we going to see it all at any of the fall shows?
I don't know if I would maybe get asked to be on a Blizzard Bash team. That's something I would have to think about, but that's also something I'm leery on, too, is trying to build chemistry or something with other drivers that you don't know their driving style on. That's why when we were down there a couple years ago and ran, it was people from around the area, my cousin and my friend, and then Laura from North Dakota, and we've run with each other quite a few times before that. One's got that chemistry built up, so I don't know. One, I'll have to wait and see if someone throws out a message, and then I'll have to think from there. One might also be in the field too that I can't make it. So,
right, that's the you're talking about when you went down there as Team Crazy Train in the Leonard Weld team bracket.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So those guys have done well, and you guys have had some good luck up at Mandan as well in the past, correct?
We've actually haven't run up at Mandan. No. I've had friends, Jeremy Tim and Matt Erickson, they've had some good luck up there, and they only live about an hour away from me, but we've never ran up there. We've talked about it, but it's never happened.
I thought you were there the year that fella broke his femur, had the blue and silver car.
Yep.
I thought you were running with them. My mistake.
One was up there watching, but one hasn't run up there.
Gotcha. In terms of what you've got with the back of that car, how do you go about putting that thing back together? As ugly as it is, it had been ripping everything to pieces and those arches coming apart. What are you going to do to make sure that's something that you can trust when you go out there and that it doesn't just go back to the same spot that it's in, aside of the obvious putting plates all over it?
Well, if I'm not allowed to put plates over it, then I'm almost going to have to do like I've seen people do with caddies before and just cut off halfway at the humps and leave pretty much the rear end hanging out and then not worry about anything and hopefully trust that nothing's getting through a postal pumpkin or something like that.
Right.
But or just keep driving forward and don't let anybody hit you in the back end.
Yeah, we've seen that before, and it always you see that pull out. And you can just see the frame rails have been cut right off. There's just nothing there. You know, it's that, like,
that makes me nervous. I don't know. I remember one year Pete had that with one of his Rivies. He cut it off at the humps and put a
the Crown Vic rails on the back.
Yeah, rails on the back of it and ran it for the rest of the season. But yeah, it's we've seen guys do that, and you know, it's worked fine for him. But it's weird though. I mean, you know, the theory of demolition derbies kind of always keep your nose clean, but do something like that, you got to protect your back end and use the front end. But
don't put yourself in any bad spots.
Yeah, derby drivers adapt and overcome, man. There's not a more more ingenious bunch around. They get everything, everything they can out of their equipment.
You went to Blizzard Bash with your cousin, and you know, you look through the pictures, and everybody's involved. With the farm, it looks like everybody lives close together. How did you get into demolition derby to start with?
My dad and then my cousin's uncle, they did it for 16, 18 years. And so I grew up watching them and going to the events, and it just stuck with me, I guess. My dad just shakes his head anymore now at the stuff we do compared to what they did back then, but he still supports me, so that's all that matters.
It's funny, you know, most of the second generation drivers, you know, that I've talked to, you know, what's your dad think of what derby's like today? He thinks it's crazy. We spend too much money. We don't need all these parts. It's funny. I mean, it's, you know, it's your dad's demolition derby and then your demolition derby. But it's, you know, it's all about the love of the sport, and it's cool that, you know, dads support their sons in it.
Where the derby was when you started versus where it is now, it's obviously evolved and come a long way. And you said your dad's just shaking his head at it. At this point, how many of your generation within the Roarback family is involved in the sport at this point?
For me, it's only me. My brother, he's talked about it. He's been out to help me build and work on them, and when they're up and going, he'll rip around with them in the yard, and he kind of gets the itch a little bit then, but then he decides farming's more important. And then my cousin, he sold out 2 years ago, I believe it was. A year ago, and I bought most of his stuff from him. He just kind of got burned out. He has a couple cars left in case he does, but I bought most of his stuff from him.
Right.
So it's me for the most part now.
What are some of the other thoughts that your dad has when he sees the stuff that you're putting together to go, you know, travel all the way down to Topeka to compete or wherever else you might go, because there's plenty of shows to choose from up there in the Dakotas and Minnesota, Wisconsin area as well?
Well, yeah, he thinks one's better off sticking around the area here and stuff and doing better, but between the money one sticks into the cars and how solid they are, he says one's just beating the crap out of your body anymore and you're going to pay for it. But I tell him it's fun right now, and until my body says I can't go no more, they'll worry about it then.
That's cool.
It sounds like a driver. Sounds like a driver.
I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's always fun to get a hold of the generation prior, and they always tell you cars are too expensive, they're too hard, they're too this, it takes too long to build them. And then you talk to some of the current generation that's building some of the heavier stuff, and they say cars are too expensive and the cars are too hard and it's too rough, but they still show up.
That's when I first met Toby Hiley's dad, we got talking, and you know, of course I was just listening to his stories, and you know, such a legend in Ohio. And I said, what do you think of these cars nowadays? Oh, these kids, you know, they too much of this and too much, you know. And then he kind of smiled. And it's funny now because, you know, when we were at Bash for Cash, I think it was last year, Slam Man, Mike Decker and Toby were working both inspection lines. I walked over and put my arms around both of them. I said, you know, it's your guys' fault these cars are built like these nowadays. They both laughed because they were kind of at the forefront for a lot of the R&D and the footwork. And they both kind of laughed and said, yeah, we've heard that before. But it's awesome. I mean, it's so cool to see where, you know, Derbyan started and where it's going. And, you know, you're really – I'm excited to see what the future holds. Mm-hmm. You know, there's – I mean, who would have thought that, you know, there would be enough – you know, inventions and add-ons to make Crown Vic's Derby for 4 or 5 days straight, and you know what I mean. And just it's crazy, but you know, it's neat to see and it's fun to watch.
Well, Dylan said he's going to be around for a little while still to come, which is good. I'm definitely looking forward to that. If you don't get on a team or anything for this fall, make sure you do stop by and say hello and give a little bit of thought to making the trip out to the East Coast sometime. I know it'd be fun to see you come and try your luck at Bash for Cash or get a team together for Spring Explosion, something like that. And I know the schedule doesn't really lend itself well for it because of the farm, but all the same, you know, if Dad's going to be mad about you traveling, you might better go someplace where you're going to have fun.
All right, now that my brother's back home from college too, it might work out a little bit better to wiggle out of here too, a little bit easier.
Right on. Is there anybody that you want to make mention of before we let you go?
I just want to thank my parents for supporting me in this, and my dad for not complaining too much when I have a mess in the shop here and he's trying to get stuff around. My brother and cousin for helping me on the build for the most part and everything. Jeremy Tim, he's taught me a lot of what I know and on my builds and everything, trying to get that all figured out, and so he's been a great support. And other than that, that's other friends and family that have helped and supported.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have a good group around you, and you know, the family thing doesn't hurt either.
Very true.
No, that definitely helps.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us for a little while, Dylan. It was good to catch up with you. And like I said, keep in touch. Let us know where you're going to finish those cars off and let us know how you do.
All right, will do. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. See ya.
Bye-bye.
There goes Dylan Rohrbach. A little bit of perspective on what's happening up there in the Dakotas. Again, he's in South Dakota where he is from.
You going to pay bills?
Quickly.
Okay. When you get done paying bills, I got something I want to talk about.
Okay.
I've only been holding it in Capital City Carnage. Oh. I keep forgetting.
65% of our voters said that Bruce Johnson has to wreck his car this summer.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. And he had drummed up a little bit of conversation on there. We had 147 votes by the time we were done. The poll got in front of over 1,700 people. And cool. 65% of the folks said that he's got to get rid of it this summer, got to wreck it this summer. 65-35 was the split.
Cool.
So, as we alluded to, as we shift gears, Bash for Cash coming up right around the corner. Just about 2 months away from this one, Bash for Cash is at the Ross County Fairgrounds in Chillicothe, Ohio. Smash It Demolition Derby oversees it. SmashItDerby.com. It's available online, DerbyTees.tv, if you can't make it, but it is Demolition Derby's biggest outdoor party. You don't want to miss it. Near It Big Block Kicker Class pays $11,000 to win. The DerbyTees.com Turn Back the Clock Class pays $11,000 to win. The DEC Headers Compacts also pays $11,000 to win. And the 80s and newer Pro Stocks, which is the new class added, is going to be $7,000 to win. Also on the card of $2,000 to win each is the 1959 and older Relic class, the Frank the Tank Old School Wire class, the 80s Wire classes, the full-size trucks, youth compacts, compact trucks, and the Street Stocks. Again, the dates on that one, May 24th through the 26th, 2019, online, smashitderby.com.
You ready?
I'm ready. Am I in trouble?
No, never. So when we went to Capital City Carnage, as usual, we get to go over and walk around and, you know, just check everything out, which is so awesome. So I was over in the inspection line, and I was talking with Toby Hiley. Mm-hmm. Toby, we've begged Toby to be on the show? Okay.
Yes.
We've begged Toby to be on the show, and strangely enough, he doesn't believe that anybody wants to listen to what he has to say,
right,
which is absolutely insane.
Humble, but, unassuming, shy Tobley with 900 career wins.
Yeah. So, but he said, hey, I have an idea about inspections. And he said, I want you guys to talk about it and, you know, see what kind of you know, response you have from it. And he said, what he would like to see is when you come to an inspection line, you have a total of 10 things total that can be fixed on a car. He said, anything more than 10, and you're automatically trailered. He said, if you take a test in school, he said, if there's a 100-question test, he said, if you miss 10, you pass, right? I said, yeah, you still pass. He goes, what if you miss 50 or 55 or 60? And I was like, fail. And he's like, exactly. Right. He said, so we get guys that come in here, and he goes, I'm not against pushing the rules. He goes, I'm not against pushing the gray area. He goes, but when guys come in here and it says five bolts in the fender wells and there's six or eight, there's no gray area there. You can have five or six, or you can have five, but you can't have any more. You know, you're supposed to have a 6x6 hole in your trunk. There's no hole in your trunk. You know, take away the stuff.
If you're allowed five bolts per corner, let's mm-hmm. say, fenders, quarters, so you got four lay around. If you have a total of eight in each corner,
mm-hmm.
you've now gone from a total of 20 to 32.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than 10. So is each one of those bolts by itself, or is fender bolts going to be one of the 10 items?
Well, and that's just it, is that he thinks that that would do away with, because he goes, you know, he goes, I get it. They put that stuff in, so we'll see that, and then maybe we won't look at the spot where they tried something to work with the gray. He goes, but the stuff that's set in stone, he goes, there's no arguing that. He goes, it just, you know, Let's just leave that alone and have that stuff ready. Because he goes, that would help cut down on time. Because if we have to stand here and mark off, okay, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, this much weld here or this much patch here on the door. Okay, that's what it's supposed to be. There's no gray area to that. So why is it done more, and why do we have to discuss it? You know, he's like, it's just an idea to help with the, you know, the speed, you know, the actual process. Because there's so much stuff that you wouldn't have to look at. You know, okay, everything's done.
I don't know if he was there yet, when this got put on the books, but wasn't there a situation where they put a rule? I can't remember if it was Bash for Cash or Blizzard Bash, or I mean, it could have been multiple places for that matter, that they put a rule in place about how wide the bead could be when you put on your fix-it plate, because people were putting this little, they're putting this little teeny tiny fix-it plate with an inch and a half of weld.
Yeah.
To hold it in place. Do you remember?
Don't remember that, but I know one year at Bash for Cash, it was, I don't want to say it wrong.
While you think of it.
You were able to weld on the car after the heat, or mm-hmm. after you were qualified, and that was kind of, there wasn't defined how much or where or something, so they had to go back and work on that rule, but I don't think it was the same thing with the fix-it plates. I could be completely wrong if somebody wants to correct me, but.
Do you remember Steve Sciopa's, it was a car that ran in Brookville, that he had the same number of square inches of fix-it plate, but he had taken his fix-it plate and cut it down into like 24 1x1 squares, and then checker flag patterned it and burned each of them in. So, I mean, it stretched that square inch
Yeah, I do remember that. Now that you bring it up. Yeah. But that's good engineering, because, you know. But
well, I remember when Sam had Blizzard Bash and it got adopted at a number of other derbies that we had gone to where the patches, the fix-it plates were provided, that you could do anything with it except for cut it and roll it up.
Yep.
And if you cut it, the piece that got cut off was not used. You couldn't use it again. Stern Dirt had a situation like that where if you cut it, you weren't allowed to reattach what was taken off. And somebody did, and it was discovered, and it wasn't good. But you couldn't roll it and use it as a pin, but you could crease it. So there were guys that on they were basically taking it like an envelope and putting a body line in it, and then attaching it to the frame afterwards, so that you got just that extra little bit of rigidity on it.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah,
it's like I said, it's amazing to see what those guys do out there when they rebuild their cars. You know, it's cool. But that was an idea Toby had, and we wanted him to come on air, and we begged him out there to talk about it. And he's like, no, I just want you guys to talk about it.
So. He'd be the guy to come on and talk about it because it was his idea, mm-hmm. I mean, personally.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll send him a message and beg again, but he'll tell me no. So. But, yeah. So it's just one of those things, you know. It's and thinking about it, I mean, there is definitely stuff, you know, and again, I've never built to that level and I never will, but I mean, there is some stuff that guys do that, you know, they just know is wrong. You know, the bolts or the hole is not big enough, or the hole is not there and stuff like that. And I can understand the frustration. I mean, when you're inspecting cars for, you know, 12 or 14 or 16 or 18 hours in a day, it gets to be a long day. So you kind of, you know, come up with ways to not do it, but we'll see. It was just an idea, and we'll see what the feedback is that we get.
We'll get some feedback from them. Again, just talking about the stuff that is upcoming. April the 19th and April the 20th at Urban Destruction. That's happening at the Vandenberg 4-H Center. And then we're going to head on the week after that to Spring Explosion, April 26th, 27th, River City Rampage. Is after that, May the 3rd and May the 4th, and we'll round out the month of May with Bash for Cash. And then, just like that, it'll be time for Metal Mayhem, middle of June, June 14th. So there's some big – this is that rare pause that you get before everything just completely goes off the rails for derbies.
River City Rampage, is that Toast show?
Yeah.
Did he have that later in the season last year, or was it early? I don't remember. I thought it was later in the season.
That's a good question. I
thought he had it later in the
season.
My gut
tells me he had it in June.
Yeah, you maybe you're right. But I thought he had one later in the season. I don't know. Maybe he's got two. Who knows? I don't remember.
He had a couple shows, yeah. But
he had a couple big shows, and I thought Rampage was late in the season. But, again, I could be wrong, and if so, I apologize.
Yep. But, yeah, I think we covered everything we wanted to get to tonight. It was good to catch up with Dylan, learned a little bit about how the Dakotas work, because it's such a such a big expanse out there. You know,
a lot of space.
We've heard stories in our travels of folks that are driving like 350 miles to go to just to go to a county fair because there's nothing around them.
That's crazy.
You know, it's a long drive.
I don't know if I'd derby if I had to drive 350 miles.
It's a long way.
Well, Dan would drive 350 miles. That's in the passenger seat, but that's still a long ways to go.
I believe it's their anniversary, isn't it?
Is it?
Dan and Kristen?
No, their anniversary is in December.
Oh. All right.
They just started their boyfriend-girlfriend anniversary just happened.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I saw something on Facebook about it.
Yeah. No, they got married December or January.
She said yes, and we're still trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
Anything else pressing?
No. How about you?
No. No, not yet. Next week we'll probably get a hold of some folks. I talked with Bobby Brockway about Spring Explosion. Thought we were going to try and turn some attention to that this week, but we couldn't get the stars to align, so we're working on some folks that finished second to those guys when they won it last year. So we're going to try and catch up with them, and then obviously we'll be getting a hold of Brandon Dixon to talk about Urban Destruction, try and catch up with one of those drivers again as that comes up. So, I mean, there's plenty to talk about.
Absolutely. Always is.
Yep. Never fails. But that being said, I believe 269 coming to you on a Tuesday is in the books. Big thanks to Dylan Rohrbach for coming and hanging out with us for a little while. That's going to do it for us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square. Brian Tompkins, I'm Chris Marquardt. We'll see you next time.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, hosts of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.